Amen. Well, as Mike said, you guys are stuck with me for the next couple of weeks while Jim's on vacation. I'm trusting God that I'm not going to have to use a stool. I kind of tweaked my back pretty good yesterday, so I'm a little bit sore this morning. So it's not only a really cool Bible holder, but I might need it, so hopefully I don't. Well, let me say a quick prayer, and we'll get into the message. Father God, we just thank you for being here with us this morning as we get to come together and learn more about you and grow closer to you. And I know that you've already anointed the worship. I pray that you would continue to anoint our time together this morning and just make your presence felt. And really, God, I'm just a vessel. Please speak through me. Your words, not mine. Amen. Well, like I said, Pastor Jim approached me in early December about delivering the message while he's on vacation, and I had an idea of what I wanted to do. I had a message that I'd given a long time ago, and I thought, oh, I can just rework it a little bit, and I'll use it this morning. But God has his own ideas, which are usually better. Okay, maybe they're always better than mine. So right after Christmas, I really felt God urging me to change things up a bit. Isn't it funny how God will let you run with your idea for a while before he'll stop you and be like, yeah, that's not going to work. So I decided to do a message about something I like to call radical faith. Radical faith. Have you ever thought about what that might mean? As we go through this message, maybe you could be thinking about what radical faith means to you. Specifically, I wanted to take a look at two people in the Bible who I think had radical faith. The further I got in my preparation, I realized that there was so much to talk about with each of these people that I decided to make this a little mini-series and title it Radical Faith. Obviously, there are many people in the Bible that had strong faith, but for the purposes of this series, we're going to focus on just two of them. The first one, and the one that we're going to be focusing on this morning, is a woman who was healed by merely touching Jesus' cloak. You may be familiar with this story. If you're not, that's okay too. I always thought that this was just a story that we read about, and it was really cool, but never looked much more than that. But there's so much to learn here. I always thought it was just about Jesus' ministry and his healings, and I kind of left it there, never really digging deeper to see how much more there was in these stories and how much they can impact our lives in today's world. So, what is radical faith? Well, in this series, I want to define radical faith as believing in God's possibilities, even in the face of what can seem impossible. All things are possible through him. God can make the improbable probable. The impossible becomes possible with God. Something you never thought you could get through becomes manageable with God. There are countless stories of incredible healings and miracles for illnesses and situations that seemed absolutely impossible. Have you ever been there? Maybe you or someone you know have been faced with something that was seemingly impossible, and the Lord interceded, and there was a transformation or a miracle. The fact that I'm up here today sharing this message with you is because of a miraculous transformation. I didn't know this when I was a young man, but my Sunday school teacher actually told my mom that I was going to do something for God someday. My mom just kind of thought, are you sure we're talking about the same kid? Now, that's not to say that my mom didn't have any faith in me. I'll just say that the path I was choosing in my youth was certainly not leading me towards God and the church. But then God interceded, and he began his miracle. He was answering the many prayers of people who were going to him on my behalf. People who knew that there was more for me than what I was choosing. People who demonstrated radical faith and were willing to pray for me even when I didn't think I needed it. Thank God for those people. There's a lot more to that story, but that's for a different time. My mom is here today, and I'm sure that she would agree that it's a miracle that I'm here. So let's go ahead, and we're going to take a look at God's word and find out more about this incredible story of faith and healing. If you don't have a Bible, maybe you could raise your hand. We want to make sure that you get one this morning so you can follow along with us. So if anybody needs one, just raise your hand and we'll make sure you have one. Okay, I can't really see, but I'm guessing we're good. So this morning, we're going to be in the book of Mark. The story is also told in Matthew chapter 9 and Luke chapter 8. If you want to take a minute and write those down, that was Matthew chapter 9, Luke chapter 8. You might want to read this story on your own in each of the three Gospels and see how they compare. Matthew, Mark, and Luke are often referred to as the Synoptic Gospels because they're similarly written, both in content and in order of events. But today I chose to focus on the story as it is told in the book of Mark. It's the second book of the New Testament. It's widely agreed on that the author of this book is, in fact, Mark. Mark was an associate of Peter and received firsthand accounts of the events and then preserved them in written form. The book of Mark is believed to be one of the first books written in the New Testament, probably around 55 to 59 AD. It's the shortest and fastest moving of the four Gospels, and his writings were to the Roman believers, also known as Gentiles. So basically, if you're not a Jew, you are a Gentile. Anyway, now that we know a little more about the book of Mark, let's turn to chapter 5. We'll be starting in verse 21. Now, this is taking place during Jesus' ministry, and it's just after he had healed a demon-possessed man on the other side of the waters. Now, this is, there it is. Okay, so on the right-hand side of the screen, that is, it says Gergesa. That's where it's believed that he healed a demon-possessed man. Then he traveled back across the water up near Capernaum, and that's where this story takes place. So, okay, here we go. You know, to show honor to God in his word this morning, would you mind if you're able to stand with me as we read? Thank you. It's a little difficult in the theater, but I think it works. Okay, here we go. Mark chapter 5, verse 21. When Jesus had again crossed over by boat to the other side of the lake, a large crowd gathered around him while he was by the lake. Then one of the synagogue leaders named Jairus came, and when he saw Jesus, he fell at his feet. He pleaded earnestly with him, "My little daughter is dying. Please come and put your hands on her so that she will be healed and live." So Jesus went with him. A large crowd followed and pressed around him. And a woman was there who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years. She had suffered a great deal under the care of many doctors and had spent all she had. Yet, instead of growing better, she grew worse. When she heard about Jesus, she came up behind him in the crowd and touched his cloak, because she thought, "If I just touch his clothes, I will be healed." Immediately, her bleeding stopped, and she felt in her body that she was freed from her suffering. At once, Jesus realized that power had gone out from him. He turned around in the crowd and said, "Who touched my clothes?" "You see the people crowding against you," his disciples answered, "and yet you can ask, 'Who touched me?'" But Jesus kept looking around to see who had done it. Then the woman, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell at his feet, and trembling with fear, told him the whole truth. He said to her, "Daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace and be freed from your suffering." You may be seated. Father God, we want to thank you for your word this morning, and we just want to ask that you'll show us how we can take biblical truths that we find in stories that were told thousands of years ago that can still apply to our lives today. Amen. I think it's awesome how much there is to learn from what is seemingly a fairly brief interaction between this woman and Jesus. One thing I notice here is that if the text indicates, if we keep reading, the girl that Jesus was on his way to heal dies before he reaches her. And it suggests that perhaps she died while he was healing this woman. I think that Jesus raising a girl from the dead, rather than just laying hands on a sick girl and restoring her to health, makes for a bit more impactful story of God's healing power. I also found the number 12 seems to have a lot of significance in the Bible. It's interesting that this woman had suffered for 12 years. And the girl who Jesus brought back to life was 12 years old. The number 12 actually comes up quite a bit in the Bible. That has absolutely nothing to do with my message this morning, but I'm a numbers guy and I thought it was really cool. So you might want to check into that later on your own. Anyway, let's get back to this incredible woman. This was a woman who'd been suffering for 12 years with bleeding. Even though this was written and is part of the New Testament, they were still living under Old Testament laws for the most part. And by Old Testament laws of the time, she would have been considered unclean. There are several ways a person would have been unclean at the time. Skin diseases, bodily fluid discharge, touching something dead, eating unclean foods could all cause a person to be unclean. In this case, she was unclean for what would seem a permanent basis. Anything or anyone that she touched would have also been considered unclean. In order for a person to be considered clean again, they had to go through a purification. This process would have included things like bathing, washing of clothes, cleansing of hands and feet, sometimes sprinkling with blood and water, and even sometimes sacrifice. Physical contact with anyone would have been strongly discouraged. This may be why she chose to approach Jesus and touch his cloak from behind rather than place herself in front of him. I would imagine that this woman led a very isolated and solitary life. She was probably shunned by her community, maybe even her own family. I mean, can you imagine what life must have been like for this poor woman? She wasn't supposed to mingle with people in public. She couldn't go to the temple. She would not have been allowed to marry. Essentially, this woman was an outcast. And yet, she had faith enough to put all that aside, to go out in public, fight her way through what had to be a huge crowd of people, in the hopes that she could get close enough to Jesus just to touch the edge of his cloak. Wow. As chaotic a scene as I imagine it was, Jesus felt someone touch him. How? I mean, I'm sure he was being touched by lots of people. You know, in Luke's version of the story, it says the crowd was so big it almost crushed him. Just imagine for a second what this must have looked like. A massive crowd of people walking all around Jesus as he travels along the road. And here is this outcast of a woman who's trying to work her way through this mass of people in hopes of just touching the hem of his garment. That's all she wanted. She didn't want to talk to him. She didn't want to be seen by him. She just wanted to reach for his cloak for a simple touch. And Jesus knew he'd been touched. Why? Because this was a different touch. It was the touch of someone who had radical faith. Faith enough to set aside to deny all the limitations that she'd lived with for the past 12 long years and risk everything to reach her Savior, because she knew that if she could just touch his clothes, she might be healed. She believed in God's possibilities in the face of what seemed impossible. What an incredible picture of faith and perseverance. After all the doctors and all the failed attempts to heal this woman, after 12 years of nothing but worsening conditions, she knew that her answer had finally come. And if she could only just touch him. I mean, if you were this woman, remember, you didn't go out in public. You didn't mix in with a crowd of people. You certainly didn't touch anyone. But she did, and she did, and she did. And there she was, trembling in fear at the feet of the Savior. And Jesus simply said, "Daughter, your faith has healed you." She was free. She had overcome. She had overcome her shame, her discouragement. She was healed. She was finally free from her suffering. By Old Testament law, her touch would have made Jesus unclean, meaning that he would not have been able to enter the temple. He would not have been able to worship. He would have had to go through purification. But remember, Jesus can make the impossible possible. And by grace, the opposite happened. Without a word or a look or a touch from Jesus, she was made whole simply by believing he could heal her and having the radical faith to act on her beliefs. What a powerful, powerful story. So what can we take away from this woman's story? how can we apply this to our lives today? Well, first of all, I think we can learn that Jesus responds to our faith. No matter how insignificant we can feel at times, he still responds. Sometimes we think our desires are too insignificant to bother God with, but God wants us to understand that nothing is too big or too small for God. Second, we learn that Jesus is approachable in every circumstance. He wants us to come to him with our prayers, regardless of the need. He desires to have a relationship with us. That's why he created us, to be in relationship with him, to communicate with him, to talk to him about our problems, our needs, our desires. And third, we learn that Jesus has compassion on those who need and seek him. If we seek him and desire after him, he will hear us when we call to him. Sometimes things happen in our lives that can create a desperation, a deep desire to reach out to Jesus. That's a good thing. God always allows things to happen to encourage a closeness between us and him. I look at the story and I think, well, how simple it seems and how easy to understand that this woman had such strong belief in Jesus that she was just trying to sneak a little bit of his power. You know, I've read that some people look at this story and say that this was simply a desperate woman who would have done anything to get healed. And she was just trying to steal a little bit of Jesus' power. I don't believe that. I think that this was a woman who was faithful yet riddled with fear and shame. I think she was finally able to overcome her fear and do whatever she had to in order to reach the one person that she knew could heal her. That is why I say that in this story, this woman shows radical faith. And Jesus responded to her faith. In Mark chapter 5, verse 34, he said to her, "Daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace and be freed from your suffering." Jesus confirms that this was not a desperate woman. This was a woman of faith, and her faith healed her. Everyone should have a connector if they grab one on the way in, and a next steps card in your bulletin. Maybe you have something that you've been trusting God for. Maybe it's health related. Maybe it's relational. Maybe it's financial. Whatever it is, it's not too big for God. You might want to write that down on your connection card and allow someone in the church to partner with you in prayer to seek God's possibilities. Or maybe you have something that you'd like prayer for right now. I want to pause right here. I have a little bit of time left until we're done this morning. I really think that we should do this. So if that's you, if you have something that you've been trusting God for, if you feel like it, maybe you could just raise your hand right where you are and allow us to partner with you in prayer this morning. If you're not comfortable, you don't have anything, that's okay, but I just want to give you a minute. If anybody feels like they want prayer this morning, I think now would be a pretty appropriate time. Steve. I'd like to pray for you, Steve. How can I pray for you?
Just about my work situation, where to go and what to do.
Absolutely.
It's kind of complex.
Okay, absolutely. If anybody wants to, just put your hand out towards Steve. That'd be great this morning. Father God, we just trust in your sovereign knowledge, and we pray that you would help guide Steve this morning and in the future as far as what choices you want him to make. We know your ways are the right ways, and we just pray, Father God, over Steve this morning that you'll be with him, you'll guide him, you'll encourage him to know that he's making the right choices for you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thanks.
Anybody else before we move on? Okay. So, since you all still have your pens out because you were filling out your connector, take out your next steps card. Write something down as a reminder for you. Maybe you're like me, and you want to learn to spend more time in God's Word. Maybe you want to open the lines of communication between you and God. Maybe there's something you've been reluctant to ask God for. Maybe your next step is just to come back next week. Remember, God's bigger than your problems. He can handle it. Look at what happened for a woman who simply touched the hem of his garment. Miracles happened thousands of years ago, and you can read all about them in God's Word. But guess what? They still happen today, all around us, all the time. Miracles and healings are more than just reading about a paralyzed man who becomes able to walk again or a bleeding woman who is suddenly healed. They happen. They're happening. Don't place our human limitations on God's awesome power. God can and does make the impossible possible. Place your trust in God's possibilities. Have radical faith. Believe in God's possibilities, even in the face of what seems impossible. And come back next week for part two of the series. Let's pray. Father God, we want to thank you for being with us this morning. We just feel your presence here. And we like to invite you into this building every Sunday morning, Father God, and into our lives every day. And we know that you are the great physician, you are the great healer, you are sovereign, and you can do all things. And all we have to do is have faith to come to you, and place ourselves at the feet of the cross and give it all to you. Bless us all as we go through this next week. Hopefully bring us back here again next week safely. Amen.